again, we're going to try to finish off this topic. Probably we're going to leave Thursday, especially. Oh, thank you. Otherwise, I lose all keys. Otherwise, we'll. We're not going to be able to do the Shofar parts certainly today, but probably we'll also need Thursday. But we should already start looking into the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara Amshara, and I'll probably give a list of that, an initial list anyway. But we want to, after we do this topic and a little bit of summing up on Roy Lahoros, maybe we'll even do that a little bit today. So we'll move on to that. So just regarding what we did already, we've been analyzing the Gemara in Eruvin and Ksuvos and especially the Gemara here, and try to figure out the parameters of Kvod Rabbo or the Mokom Rabbo on the one hand, and Elim Kenato, which is Me Rabbo, both in a Girsa sense and in other senses, whether or not they're the same halacha. If they are the same halacha, are they all about quality of psak halacha and authorizations and getting the best psak, or are they both about kavod, or is that gufa, the difference that one is about either the best psak or kavod, and the other one is about authorization, etc. These are the issues that we've been exploring, and to try to kind of isolate based on the halachos, the various characteristics of these obligations. So the last thing we were discussing a little bit was the Rambam. And I don't have a Rambam. You have a Rambam for me? Oh, thanks. Shoftim. Yeah. So the just to clarify a little bit further, that I mentioned that the Rambam quotes us halacha in Perakei Hilchos Talmud Torah. In Perakei Hilchos Talmud Torah, so Eli made the ha'ara to me. Eli, that?
The Rambam integrates not being more of the Rabbo with the Gil of Rabbo.
Yeah. And even though that's in halacha, what?
Gimel.
Even though he has it in the next halacha, he repeats it, which is even more. So again, this would confirm what I was trying to suggest is, especially based on Perak Dalid of the Sanhedrin, that while this is a din in kavod, it's also a din in hechsher, and even the din of kavod is really an aspect of hechsher as well. So it's interesting that here he has the din of hayu benod ben rabo shnei masar mil and so on, and then he concludes. Also, lahoros hachiyamos rabo elim kenato rishus me rabo. That's our din, and then velo kol mishemes rabo mutar laleishe velahoros batora elim ken haya talmid shigia lahora. And then in the next halacha, he has kol talmid shelo yigia lahora umora reza shote rasha vegasruach valav nemar ki rabim chalalam epila v'chein chacham shigia lahora ve'ena mora. So it's interesting that he integrates these basically in one halacha. In halacha gimel, he has bifnei rabo, elim kein natal rishus merabo, and the requirement of talmud shigi alahora. So Eli was just saying this would work very nicely if what we're saying is correct, which is that these aren't really separate dinim; these are different dimensions. They reflect from a character point of view, from a psak achrayus, and other points of view. These are aspects that overlap into psak too. So I think that's correct, and I'm just adding that the fact that he repeats the din in the next halacha, b'chol talmud shelo yigi alurimar reza shota rasha v'gas ruach, there he's weighing in on how consequential it is. But in the earlier halacha, he's already integrating the idea that this is a positive requirement. And then I had made reference to the fact that in Hilchos Sanhedrin, thank you, in Perek Chaf, that the Rambam does mention, I was saying it's ironic, that the Rambam does have an explicit mention of Bifnei Rabo, not only in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but in Hilchos Sanhedrin as well. And that's in Perek Chaf. This is like a Franco, but without the thing in the back, but it has all the other benefits of it.
Yeah.
So the Perek, in the Perek Chaf, the Rambam has, in Halacha Ches, it's interesting also the context, Kol dayin shavua lefanav adin v'hitchil damoso v'din pasuk shekvar yada amito, right, v'yesha imo b'medina gadol mimeno b'chachma v'ena holech v'nim lachbo reza b'chal harishayim she libam gas b'hara. So here again, the Rambam even more so, integrates, of course, this language of rishayim she libam gas b'hara is the language that the Rambam uses in Hilchos Talmud Torah when he talks about being Mishena Roy Lahara being Mora. Now here, it's a relative thing, right? It's called Ayin Shabbal Afan of Din. He's not incompetent, but it's Hitchel Damos Din Pasuk Shekvar Yada Mito. But the problem that would be per se okay, although he has to examine it freshly too. But Yeshim Bavimdina Gadol Mimena B'Chachma, right? And it isn't even Rabbo here, but Ein Aholech V'Nimlach Bo. So clearly, this isn't a matter of kavod; it's a matter of A, getting the best psak, and that's why he starts off with, this point, and also reflecting, both in terms of content and in terms of character, being roy lifsok based on character. Hareza b'chal rishoyim shalibam gos b'hara. That there's a relative inner roy lahara given who else is out there and possibly can take this question. Right. So again, it's gasas aruach, but it's maybe the day ibus adin. Pashtus is it's not that the ibus adin is a kind of a punishment for the gasas aruach, but what we're saying is that if a person has gasas aruach, that really does affect his judgment and his character. And never mind the siyata d'shmaya piece of the Gemara in Ksuvos, which is probably. Clearly, this is kind of implicitly the Rambam's statement of the Gemara in Ksuvos, right? And then he says, "Ki rabim chalal mipila as the Talmud shelo yigi laharo mora." Even though here it's relative, "Vatsumim kol harugah zeshi yigi laharo ve'ena mora." So it's fascinating once again that the Rambam has this in both places in Hilchos Talmud Torah and in Hilchos Sanhedrin. "V'hu shiya hador tzarichlo," in the case of the criticism of Misha. Roy vein amora, aval im yada sheisham roy lahora, umana atzmo min aora reza meshubach, bechala manea atzmo min adin, right monea mimenu eva vegezel shvushav, right v'hagas liba bahora shota rasha v'hagas rua. So the overlap between the Hilchos Talmud Torah and the Hilchos Sanhedrin here, and the expansion and the relative aspect of it, and the fact that it, whether siyata d'shmaya or best psak or temperament to be a posek, etc., all that seems to be reinforced. And then the next halacha in halacha tes is again where he just said it's switched. Like in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's elim kanato rishus me rabo and bifne rabo or bifne rabo me rabo, and then misha enaroy lahara. And here the order is flipped. But the next halacha in halacha tes is Talmud al yora halacha bifne rabo elim kain hayiracha kemenu gibel parsos. Keneged Machane Yisrael. Right. So I just think it's an interesting. The flip is interesting, but more important is the overlap and the reinforcement that all of this gives to the basic idea. Having said that, so one could have thought that okay, but at least it's interesting that Bifnei Rabo is mentioned at least in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Elam kein natal rishus mirabo is really not, and that's the other ha'ara that I was making, which is I don't think that's really true, because in the end of the day, Yora is prominent in Perek Daled, which makes it even more central. And basically, if you know the Gemara, right, Yora still is the din of elam kein natal rishus mirabo. Just that the Rambam is in Perek Daled is codifying it in its kind of smicha esque. Form, rather than in the kavod part of it, which is an interesting phenomenon. We'll get to the Rivash's reading of the Rambam and so on in just a minute. But basically, putting all these things together, this is what emerges very consistently, I think, for the Rambam. In the end of the day, this last point helps us with the perspective. That at the end of the day, the Gemara says that the purpose of Elam Kenato Rishus Mirabo, is connected to the story of Meibitzai. So it's hard to say that that's purely a din in Kavod, right? Because clearly it's about being Machshil, as a rabbi. Again, narrow Machshil, broad Machshil. Right, how did that get for the Rambam turned into, or the people who have the girsa you know, like the Kiddush Haran and so on. We'll see again Rabbeinu Yonah in just a minute. You know, for the people who integrate these things, you know, beginning with the Rambam, just what do you do with the Gemara? Right? So you could say, I guess, that, you know, one of two things. You could say, or one of three things, you could say, you know, if you wanted to start out from the Kavod point of view, you could say, well, the fact that this is a function of Kavod, you know, isn't just about, you know, having a Rebbe ask, you know, having the ability to ask his Rishus, ignoring that, or usurping from him like the Kavod or the prerogative of giving the answer. If there wasn't also, you know, some sort of substantive aspect to it, something that we're also concerned about, so maybe it wouldn't even be kavod. That's, you understand what I'm saying? If you take a kavod perspective in one of these ways, just how do you read the Gemara? That's a question, right? You asked me yesterday. Where's the Nebetzayim in all of this? So I think either what you have to say is that, you know, kavod isn't something in a vacuum. Kavod is, you know, when something consequential or at least meaningful or some kashash, even if it's a kashash rachok, you know, of a substance is involved. It isn't purely about form and etiquette and deference. It's form and etiquette and deference because this is considered to be something, you know, significant that you're doing. And part of what that is not just your abilities, but your character, your responsibility, you know, you're, you know, being suited or appropriate to this task. And, you know, once we look at it from that, once we know that psak also contains those other elements, so then the prerogative itself and who you bypass become more significant. I think that's one way to explain the link. The other way to explain the link, I think it's true, by the way, as a factor, you know, in you know whether that's what's going on in this halacha or not, I'm not sure, but I'm very comfortable with that idea. Maybe the kavod in many cases is not about pure kavod, but you know it's kavod for what, and you know what is the tochen that you're having kavod about, and what are the concerns and so on. Certainly, for some of the rishonim, I think who think that kavod is really really central here, or that it's just a din in kavod. I think that makes a lot of sense. For the Rambam, because I'm convinced that the Perek Daled piece, you know, is really, you know, the dominant one, and I like the, you know, integration both in Perek Chaf and in Perek Hei of Kavod and Psak anyway. So my sense is that it goes in the other direction, and that is that as we said, the aspects of Kavod themselves, you know, reflect on psak. So what we're saying really is that, you know, for the same reason that, you know, namely that it isn't such a big difference between the two. It's a question of, you know, which one is the shiur and which, basically, is what I'm saying. Before I was saying that tochen, a certain kind of tochen and consequence is a shiur in whether this is something, you know, to be concerned about in terms of kavod. Now what I'm saying is that, you know, kvod, factors like kvod, rabo, as well as, you know, being medayek and you know, being aware, you know, that it's not sufficient to be right, technically, you know, but you also have to be effective and responsible and, you know, an ambassador for Torah that, you know, is effective, you know, all of these are part of proper psak. And, you know, both on a siyata d'shmaya level and on a character level, which spills in and over into substance. So I would prefer to think that, you know, for the Rambam, Perek Daled is Ikar, and the Kavod piece is an expansion of that in an important way. What we'll see is that, I'll mention it now, the Rivash kind of has a third approach. But I think that, you know, it's, in general, he has three or four or five formulations. We'll get it up and we'll talk about it hopefully we'll get to it already today. But this part of it, I just want to mention very quickly, and that is that one of the perspectives of the Rivash that he likes very much is the idea that really this expresses itself, you know, this din of Elim Kein Natzel Rishus Mirabo in Kavod. But because, we'll discuss more fully in a minute, the Rivash is of the opinion that Elim Kein Natzel Rishus Mirabo is the Yisod of Smichas Ashkenaz. And so you have certain, irony in that on the one hand, he is underscoring the kavod, part of all of this, even as he's telling you that this is what we mean in Ashkenaz by smicha. You would have thought that, smicha is yishur, smicha is, status and stature and srara and all the things that we've been talking about. It's a smicha and the tilsushas rabarish galusa, right? The more you emphasize the kavod part, the more it sounds like this isn't the kind of smicha. So, interestingly, again, for the Rambam, I think the answer is what we've been saying. But for the Rivash has this interesting line where he says that essentially on a ishur level, on a, qualifying you and, sanctioning you and licensing you for psak, from that point of view, there really is a counter pressure. And that is, the idea of atzumim kol harugeha, namely misha roi lahoros. If somebody could get me the line in the Rivash, if you can find it, misha roi lahoros ve'ein amore, right? Who is not criticized in the same way as the gas ruach and the shota, who's ein roi lahoro umore, but he is criticized. If he's the best person to paskin, then he's the best person to paskin. So the question is, what are you going to do? You can stand on ceremony. He didn't get Rishus Mirabo, and therefore we're not going to allow him to paskin. Right? So that's where the Rivash says, if he doesn't have a Rebbe, then although we would, want an Ishur of some sort, the urgency of, Roy Lahoros Ve'in Amore, is going to be Koveya. But the Mokom Kvod Rabo, that will be like a counter pressure. And that's how he sees. Do you have the line back here? Okay, maybe it's good.
He says it a couple different times.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have one of them.
Go ahead.
He says, he's talking about before Misa, and he says, Lahar Misa's Rabo, Leroy Lumono Mehora, Shiesh Bezet Sad Isser. Kimich in Lashate Viminia Hahi, Viminia Hahi Shatia Lechvod Rabo.
As, since there's no kvod rabo as a counterweight, right? So what he's saying is the atzumim kol harugeha is mechayev.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
That's all right.
There's probably some better ones out there.
Yeah, I think there are. But that captures it. I think that's what because he's already said it, so he's kind of going back to it. Do you have a more expansive one? Look here. Yeah, that's the one. What are you reading from?
To
Tom Shigila Rome, Medina Mutta Lahoros, Kutsu Gimaparsa, about Chayv Lahoros. Again, that's a chiyuv, okay. Elim shum gzeira asrulo. Elim kei natu rishus mirabo. Right? So not that he doesn't need to be competent, right? But that he... Okay. So basically you see what's going on here. Again, I'm going to go more expansively into what Rivash says. Probably the end of today or if we need Thursday. So basically that's his way of navigating and saying that on the one hand this is smicha, this is the smicha of Ashkenaz, but it's kavod oriented because the kavod element is what neutralizes what would be another factor, namely the factor of chiyuv, hora, b'misha roy. Okay. That's point number one that I wanted to make in terms of a broader question of the relationship of those two things, and in the Rambam, and in the Rivash's reading of the Rambam and others, and how you read the Gemara according to that whole group. The second point, quickly, is to talk about Rabbeinu Yona, right? Josh also brought to my attention, and I realized I had it later on, I was going to speak about it later, but And that is what Rabbeinu Yonah really has an expansive view, really, of the relationship between Bimkom Rabba and Elim Keinatol Rishus Mirabba, right? So on the one hand, he integrates them, right? Assumes basically they're the same thing, right? But what does he do in addition? What's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah?
And that he extends that he says everything is makom rabba.
Yeah. That basically, if you have if you think that elim keinatol rishus mei rabbo is a din of b'makom rabbo, so does that limit elim keinatol rishus mei rabbo geographically? So what he did was like a very creative thing, right? And that is that the word b'makom rabbo for Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't mean geographic at all. What does it mean?
Yeah, I thought it was psychological.
Well, yeah, so you were telling me psychological, but I thought what you meant by psychological was...
Yeah,
like a chiluf. What? Like a chiluf of rabbo. Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is what you mean. Right?
No, you understood me differently, like that way the first time, and then I wanted to explain it more, but I forgot. Yeah. That, like, for the
when I looked at it again, I was realizing, and that's how I always understood it, was that it's a chiluf. And I think it's very clear. One second. Just one second. The word b'makom rabba means in place of his Rebbe, not in the place of his Rebbe.
That's the
inami,
I think.
Yeah, the inami. Well, yeah, correct. Yeah, it could be that it depends on the inami. That's the Shemi Shlomar. This is what I'm reading, what we're discussing. The Shemi Shlomar hide b'makom rabba. Hainu ba'od sharabo kayam. It means as long as the Rebbe is alive, right? B'hai dekomar bimekom rabo. I see the question is, are these two or not? B'hai dekomar bimekom rabo mipnei sha'kol chashu bimekomo legabe hora'a. So originally I also thought that meant that, you know, it's more of an attitudinal, you know, thing. Imke nikras bimekom rabo. But then he says, klomar... Klomar isn't an inami, i.e., what does that mean?
Inami.
Oh, you have inami?
Yeah, it has that also. Fennec has inami too.
Who has inami?
The board and the
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Oh, okay. So maybe that you mean our. I see. Okay. My text here says, in Cain, that you're reading like that, you're the. So that's the psychological point, right, that you were talking about, which I think I like. Then you're saying, Inami nikres bimkom rabo. Klomar osa hora shiesho l'rabo lasos osa hu bimkomo. Right? So if you have imkain, it's all one. If you have inami, again, the text here says imkain. You can understand that in a manuscript, the difference between inami and imkain is practically, it's practically impossible to tell. So I actually like it. Okay, I didn't realize that. Oh, okay. So if inami, so there are two pshatim, both of which are b'chudash. One is psychologically, it's always makomo. There's no reach. There's no place. Not no place to hide, hopefully, but the other way. Meaning, like t'mus diukno shel rabo is always a befunav. That kind of a thing. Meaning, geography doesn't dull the impact. Or the other one is equally intriguing, right? They're both mechudash and they're both very ambitious. And that is bimko, but I think has a different connotation. And that is bimkomo, meaning what you're doing is usurping. You're being machlif, not geography at all, but you're taking his, you're usurping his job, because this is his psak to make. Now that's not presumably just midin kavod, but that particularly accentuates that he is the best. He's closer to this. He has more experience. He's the source. Again, it doesn't always have to be this way, obviously, but you know, all things being equal, you know, his you know, the siyata d'shmaya of the better psak. So it's always considered you're stepping on his toes, you're grabbing his, you know, it's like somebody asked him the shaila and you cut him off, you know, and you stole his you know, his job. But that isn't the din of kavod in this case. It's his preferably, again, I can't prove it, but more likely it's a din in the psak itself. Okay, so both of these formulations, I like the inami, even though it's not in this text. And okay, very good.
How are you reading the first half of the inami?
I'm sorry?
How are you reading the first half of the inami?
That it means that bimkom rabo means that, you know, komokom shehu is bimkom rabo. It's always considered al pidin bimkom rabo. As opposed to...
The Talmud is always considered bimkom rabo?
The Talmud, from the Talmud's perspective, any shiloh that he's asked is considered bimkom rabo. Hi, v'shem yesh lomar, he's trying to explain, like, what... The problem is, how come this is so expansive in the Takana and so on. Yesh lomar, hai bimkom rabo, hainu, ba'od sherabo kaya.
And that holds for both sides of the Talmud.
Correct. Now, Ocha Rabo Kayim, the first one is V'hai Dekomar Bimkom Rabo. Why doesn't it just say V'Mokom Shrabo Kayim? Is to teach you that Mipnei Shakol Choshuv V'Mekomo Legabe Hora.
I'm reading this to mean that, like, the Rebbe is, like, always there with Talmud psychologically?
Correct.
What is that?
Well, otherwise, why don't you just say that he just, as long as he's alive, he has no right to Paskin?
I think he's just saying very simply that the subject here is the shilas, or every shila is considered bimakom rabo.
Why?
Because they're supposed to be directed towards him.
That's what he's saying in the second one.
No. You're saying in the first one.
No.
If
you say imkain. If you say imkain.
Where do you gauge the location of a hora?
What we're saying is, what he's saying is, like, well, I mean, normally it would be where the person asks the question, and if the Rebbe is far away, then he's far away. So why do you need his rishus?
You're saying you don't locate shilos based off where the question is posed. You ask them, you gauge them teleologically about where they're supposed to be posed to.
But in the sense that you're stealing his question, or in the sense that as long as there's
any shiloh in New York City, you know.
No. But we're talking about...
The 70s should be, like, geared towards the Lower East Side.
Okay. Or in Timbuktu. He's saying wherever... As long as the Rebbe is alive in the Lower East Side, then it's his shaila. But it's his shaila because... But there are still...
The
if you hold...
Should have been directed towards him.
No. But yeah, from your point of view, not because objectively he's the... The difference, if you have the inami, is...
No psychology.
It is psychology, because if you hold the inami, the imkain basically says that it's his question, and you're taking his question.
Let's just read this first part then on the psychological read. How would it go?
It's from the Talmud's point of view. Wherever he is, there's no place.
The Talmud is always considered to be in the makom of the Rebbe.
Shakol choshuv bimkomo legabe hora. When it comes to a hora. Any circumstance, even if it's chutz mi gimel parsos or any other distance, legabe hora'a from the perspective of the Talmud is still something which is bim, which is bimkom rabo.
The subject is the Talmud.
Yeah.
Shahakol meaning like all the Talmidim.
Shahakol, no, all circumstances of questions that are given to a Talmud when his Rebbe is alive, choshuv. Bimakomo shalrabo legabe horo.
So what does that have to do with psychology? Why not just say that any shiloh that's posed b'chayi the rab?
But what we're saying is that from the perspective, what should be from the perspective of the Talmud, or is that more objective because it's his question and you're grabbing it? That's
a difference.
What?
Subjective.
The second one is saying that Nikres bimkom rabo klomar oso rosh yesh lo rabo lasos.
The second one simply dropping the interpretation of makom as geography.
Correct, but what I'm suggesting is that the in lieu of is a function of him objectively being the person who's supposed to answer this question, Whereas in the first point, it's the what we're saying is that from the Talmud's point of view, wherever he is, as long as his Rebbe is alive, he's bimkom rabo le'inyan hora. It's as if he's in the east side, as opposed to saying he's in Timbuktu, but it's still that Rebbe's question.
I just thought the pashuk shot is that it means a shaila is supposed to be geared towards.
Right. The question is why? Is it from the because from the Reb from the Talmud's point of view, there's no different, there's no distance when it comes to this matter, or because objectively it's his shaila, and what makes it his shaila because he's the most qualified person. That if we have Inan, if you have him Cain, then it's all the second shot. Okay. Either way, it's perfectly clear from Rabbeinu Yonah in the continuation that this is not just a function of Bifnei Rabo actually, but this is the pshat in Elam Kain Nakal Rishus Mei Rabo. Okay. A second question also related to this issue. What is the relationship between another question about the relationship between Elam Kein Natal, Rishus Mei Rabo, and Bifnei Rabo is the question of whether or not one helps for the other. In other words, if you have Rishus Mei Rabcha, does that help you to solve the problem of Bifnei Rabcha or not? Right, that is something which probably technically could depend, you know, on the question of the Girsa and on the question of, you know, whether you read like Tosis in Sanhedrin or not, and so on, clearly. But it's a question which also stands independent of the Girsa and how you understand Rabo. In other words, just Lamaisa, let's assume for the moment that there's one din of Bifnei Rabo, right? At minimum, there's a din of Bifnei Rabo Mamish, the Chiyuv Misa part of Bifnei Rabo. And then there's another din, which is, that's a din d'oraisa. Right, we're not sure whether or not Shelo Bifnei Rabo, if that's a separate category, whether that's Dorai. We know that the Ram thinks that that's Doraisa, and some other Rishonim think that that's a Din Rabbanan. That's the place, the issue where we're mechalik between Talmud Chaver and Talmud Muvak, right? What that second category is an interesting question, both geographically and conceptually, right? And the third, which of course is LMK, Natal, Rishus, if there are three, Mei Rabo. The question is, if you have a Rishus Mei Rabcha, right, does that help you for either Bifanov, or if there is a second category, Shalom Bifanov, does that help you or not? Now, again, the more you think that, you know, ironically, the more you think that Elim Kain is part of the story of Bifnei, right, that's all kind of one internal issue. You know, that's going to be one kind of a question. So internally, within the din of, let's say, Kavod Rabo or Siyata Dishmaya, etc., you know, does the geographic parts of it are they affected by the takana? Once you have the chalos of the takana, does it help you or not? That mechila, whatever you want to call it. On the other hand, if you see these as two completely different issues, one Bifnei Rabo and the other one as a kind of Ishur, right, or a Smicha, whatever you want to call it, so the likelihood, you know, that this, you know, even as a Chalos is going to help you is much less because it relates to a totally different topic. Okay? So what do we know about that question? Who discusses that question? Yeah?
The Yad Ramah.
Correct. The Yad Ramah, and who else?
The Ran.
Correct. Both. So the Yad Ramah says, what about this?
The two possibilities.
Yeah, we're not sure, at least I'm not sure, whether there are really two possibilities. It's hard to know. There are two, and the question is, are they arguing, or are they just different, the Hekatimtzis? But that's Dibra Maskil, you have it there? Yeah, Tanchun Brei Dravami, right? So the question is, right, Ikal Meimar, do you have it? The Haimaisa Kodim Gzeirahava. Aval achar gzeira afilu shelo bimekom rabo lo ad sheito reshus me rabo. The question again, same kind of problem. How do you integrate the gzeira to the? It sounds in the Gemara in Sanhedrin at least, like you know, and other places too, that the din of shel even the din of shelo b'fnei rabo maybe is limited. So how does that work if you have a din of elam kein natal reshus me rabo? So the first answer is ikel meimar the hamaisa kodim gzeira hava. Right? Then comes the Ibai Seima. Go ahead. What does he say? Yeah. So the second day of the Ramah clearly says that Rishus, Meirabo, doesn't help you in terms of the din of Bifnei Rabo. Both dinim of Bifnei Rabo, if there are two dinim? That's also an interesting question, right? Let's just get at the record. Now, I'm not sure whether the Ikal Meimar before was to avoid that, in which case there are two deos, right? Or it's just a different Hechatimtzi, but he really holds that Elam Kain, that Netilas Rishus doesn't help you in the Bifnei. The Ran, just one more second, is more explicit that there's a debate. You have that? Who's the debate between? Rabbeinu David and the Ran. Alright, Rabbi David Bonfield says, Umashma la Rav Rabbi David, Dimashu Asur Minat Torah, Pila bin Atilas Rishus, Asur. Right? And then he himself says, Vili Eina Raya, Deika Lemeimar, Shehem Yadu Shalom Natal Rishus, Mirab Mani, Avaliola Meimelach, Dibinatal Mutar. And then, for good measure, importantly, v'tam b'demilsa, v'kivin d'mishum yakur d'rabehu, matzi machil. V'kaimelon rav shemachal al kvodo, kvodo machil. So here there's a debate between Rav David Bonfil, who seems to say, elam kein natal. Now again, it's a diuk to make here also, right? Rav David Bonfil says that natal reshus mirabo is not going to help you. Mashu asur min haTorah, filin tilas reshus asur. So, and that's a sensible chiluk, right? Then the question is, well, what's the status? This question can be raised. What I'm trying to say is, this question can be raised, you know, both with regard to befanav mamish, where there's a chiyuv misa, and which also includes, you know, talmid chaver, as well as. You know, the second category, which applies only to Talmud Muvak, you know, which is Shalo Befana. Could you be Mechalek between them? So the could you be Mechalek between them point depends on what the relationship of those two things are. Right. Number one, if there's a difference between Daraisa and Darabanan, that would be a reason that, you know, The Chidush Eran himself happened to say earlier that both cases, even the Shalom B'fanav, is Daraisa. So, but, you know, even if they're both Darabanan, you might not be Mechalek. And even if they're both Daraisa, you might be Mechalek. Right? Because the very fact that one is Iser Misa and it extends also to Talmud Chaver. Right? Again, if you see all that in terms of just the quantitative question of, you know, when is it a matter of kavod? A matter of kavod. So there are other, you know, just like I said before, you know, what is this? Is it a matter of consequence? That could figure into whether it's a matter of kavod. So too, who is it, you know, and, you know, in what proximity is it? Those are also factors that figure into kavod. In a Doma, if I have a Talmud Muvak who, you know, who doesn't show the proper, you know, deference to a Talmud Chaver. It doesn't mean a Talmud Chaver shouldn't show deference, but there's a Talmud Chaver type of deference, and there's a Talmud Muvak, you know, type of deference. There's a deference of, you know, Befanav, Mamish, and there's a deference of, you know, Shalom Befanav a little bit. There's a deference of Mamish, you know, in his presence, and there's another one, Be'ir, and there's another one of Gimel Parsaos. You know, and then there's, you know, beyond that. So there are, the question always is to figure out, is this just, you know, the threshold of kavod given the circumstances? Or no, we're really dealing with different mechaibim. What do you mean different mechaibim? maybe one is a din, not just in, you know, lack of kavod, but in bizayon or zilzol, right? Whereas the other is, you know, he didn't discharge his chiyuv kavod, right? Or what you might say, especially in light of Rebelville's analysis. What do I mean by that? What's Rebelville's analysis, Yonatan?
Two dinim of kavod, one for Rav specifically, for Rabo, and one for Tamei Chacham in general.
Oh, and what does he say about them?
The one for a Rav specifically, he can be mohel, but the one
that's a more personal one,
yeah.
And therefore that's nitan the kavod, lemechilas kvodo. But the other one is a kind of more
general.
It's either a bizayon, which is not nitan the mechila, or more likely it's about the institution rather than about the individual. Right? And it's about kavod haTorah, not about your personal relationship and personal ruffled or hurt feelings. If that's what it is, then, you know, you have the right to be mochel on that. But a zilzol in kavod haTorah, right? Institutional, in other words, that's not biyadcha to be mochel, right? That's similar to the question of, you know, we say, you know, this question comes up, you know, Rav Shemachal Kvodo, whether Kvodo Machal or not. You know, how can it ever be that ain't Kvodo Machal, right? But we also have parallel questions about Kohen Gadol and Melech. So, you know, the Chilukim are either based on Zilzul versus Bizayon. I'm sorry, Zilzul and Bizayon versus, you know, lack of Kavod. You know, or exactly on this question, namely, to what extent are these perceived as issues that are personal to the Gavra Melech, the Gavra Kohen Gadol, the Gavra Talmud Chacham, or to the category, to the institutions, you know, that they reflect and represent. So if we find in the distinctions between, you know, Befanov and Shalom Befanov, and possibly a third one if it's related in some sense to the same idea as well, if Elim Kane, and regarding also the assessment of the fun of man mishpir, toch gimel parsos, chutz gimel parsos, etc. So where you draw the line, you know, Talmud Muvak, you know, Talmud Chaver, what is a Talmud Chaver? We'll speak about that for a couple of minutes also. I don't want to get too involved, but what is a Talmud Chaver in this whole discussion? What is a Talmud Muvak for that matter? So it could be that these are part of the issues. But so when Ron here says that the distinction is between Doraisas, you have to figure out what's Doraisa. But all I'm saying is, you could have said that the Huadin, even if it's Rabbanan, and you could have said Huadin that you can be Mechalik, even if it's Doraisas, based on these Chilukim that we are making. Either way, Rab David Bonfil thinks that Netilas Rishus does not help you, at least on the Doraisas, right? And the Ran disagrees, and the reason that he disagrees is because he's saying, Kivin de Mishum Yakrud de Rabbehu, Matzi Machale, Kaimran Rav Shemachal, Mo Kvodo Machal. But that's exactly the question. Is that really what's going on here? Now, of course, if you take the view, you want to accentuate the Gemara in Ksuvis, right, lav mishum afkerusa, ela mishum de lo estaya milsa, and that's where Tosas themselves weigh in. Tosas says an afkamina will be, right, if he's mochel on his kavod, because it's not going to help you for a siyata d'shmaya. Again, if siyata d'shmaya means, you know, either mystically or practically, you know, a better psak, then that's totally understandable. If it's more, you know, you don't get the extra siyata d'shmaya because of your lack of kavod, not such a pasha thing to begin with. It's interesting that the Tosas Rid in Ksuvis adds a line. There's a debate what line he adds. There seem to be different girsos in the Beit Hananel. You know, is that case even a case? Is it a case where there's greater dochak? Or is it a case where the question is less challenging? But either of these chilukim, the Gemara doesn't say anything one way or another, but let me read this. Amar Abaye, Hi Nilsa, the Amar Rabbanan. Here he adds the ad. Afila bishata deduchka, our printed text. Afila bishata deduchka, lo lishri inish bimakom rabo, lo mishun demesikaf kirusa. Right? Elamishum visulo. Elamishum de lo mistaya nami milsa. Now in the Gemara, it doesn't say that exactly. How does the Gemara go? One second. Hai milsa domar abanan afilu biata de kutcha lo lishu'inish bimakom rabe lo mishum de mechsi kafkirusa ele mishum de lo mistaya milsa. So again, some of the people changed the girsa on the Tosfos Rid to match that, right? Near the Shasu, Vitzar Chlomar, Afilu Biata Bekutcha, Lo Lishri Inish. Now again, depending on the level of what Biata Bekutcha is, which we already discussed, so, you know, if it's not much of a serious Shaila, you know. But I would take the girsa of the Tosfos Rid at face value, and I would say that there are two points here. Number one is Afilu Bishata Deduchka. And number two, he adds another word, lo mishum de mechsikaf gerusa visulo, right? Ela mishum de lo mistaya nami milsa. Meaning, you know, is this Gemara saying that all of the din of Kvod Rabo is a din of mistaya milsa, and that's what it is? And it's what the other Gemaras seem to be discussing in terms of Kavod, the Gemara here is revealing, is midin siyata deshmaya. According to Tosfos Rid, it sounds like he's addressing in both of these points the question, the other Gemaras, the Gemara in Eruvin and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, are talking about a case where, you know, there's no, you know, difficulty accomplishing the preferred, you know, Kvod Rabo, and therefore it's a din in Afkerusa. Right? But even when you can eliminate, not that there isn't a din of Afkerusa, but even when you can eliminate the din of Afkarusa, namely Bishas Adchak, that isn't the only problem. There are two dinim. There's also a din of Siyata Deshmai. Either way, whether you know the Tosfos Rid or the other shot in the Gemara and so on, and whether you know however you explain the Siyata Deshmai, the more you think that Siyata Deshmai, not as a function of Kavod, but like Tosfos says, as an independent factor, the more you're not going to be able to say that, you know, Chacham Shemachal Kvodo Machal. Because just like you couldn't say that for Zilzul and Bizayon, it's not a heter for Zilzul and Bizayon, just like you wouldn't say that if it's about the institution of Kavanah Torah, so too, you can't wipe that away with if you're talking about a better psak. So part of this debate may revolve around this issue. Where do you draw the line? How do you look at the different gradations? Essentially, we're saying now there are three or four gradations, right? There's, you know, the Bafanovs, whatever you draw the line there, which is also, you know, different views. There's Shalom Bafanov. There's Elam Kenatal Rashus Mirabo, you know, which, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is a kind of, you know, Bafanov too, maybe two different types of Bafanov, right? And then there is, the question of Mechila under these conditions as well. Okay, so that is, the more you look at Elam Kain Natal Rishus Mirabo as an internal matter, you're going to look at it that way, the more you think that, you know, it's about sanctioning him, you know, to license and to practice, less likely who is that this is any kind of implicit mechila bifnei rabo anyway. Okay. Good. So that's the Rama and the Kiddush HaRa. Now let's get back to, I think, where we left off in terms of other issues last time. And that is, what is the relationship to smicha and to the nasi? Do you need to and can you substitute, should you substitute some like a bigger authority, like somebody in the Lower East Side, for example, or Boston, you know, or Yerushalayim, you know, how does that fit in? How does, Gadol HaDor, Rava Rashi, it's not always the same thing, but That's also an interesting question. You see already from the Tshuva of the Rivash, and you don't need the Tshuva of the Rivash to know this, you know, that has always been an issue. That people who have official authority, especially one is sanctioned governmentally, you know, and there's an administrative aspect and an election aspect. Like, how does that figure in, you know, to the equation? So anyway, the question is, what is this all about? So if it's about sanctioning, you know, you need like a yori, you need to, you know, maybe it's only gzeira, and maybe without the gzeira it was implicit, you know, based on other things, being a gomir, or the other smichas that you get, whatever it is. But if it's really about sanctioning, so unless you say, you know, something like we've been saying for the Rambam and others, or for the Rivash, about pressures and counter-pressures and so on, then you really need sanction. And in theory, you know, sanction or approval or licensing, you know, could come from another source. There's still a question, what's the ideal source? Can you bypass, you know, the best source if there is one, whether that's Gadol HaDor or Rebbe? But the point is that if we look at this as a kind of smicha and a kind of, you know, positive requirement, you know, to license him to practice, then, you know, there's still questions here, but the category of Gadol HaDor or Nasi or something like that is going to be relevant to the mix. On the other hand, if we see this as a din in Kvod Rabo very, very specifically, then, again, either, you know, directly or because of what that particularly adds to the mix of Hora, being Royal Hora, like we discussed before, then, you know, there's no reason to assume that this extends beyond Rabo. He has a relationship with Rabo, and therefore, you know, just like there's a din of Bifnei Rabo, but there's no LMK Natal, presumably, for anybody but Rabo. Oh. Anyways, so there is a view in the Chiddush Aran. Yosef Yassad? What does he say? So what happens, again, Rambam's view is that Meis Rabo, you don't need anything. Right? And we discussed that already.
I'm not sure.
You see it? You didn't get a chance? Adam?
Are you at the base that he says?
Well, not Beza, but the Nasi, right? The earlier piece. What does he have here?
First round.
Second.
Got the Ramban?
When he talks about the Ramban, I'm just saying, is that the line? What's 1 second? Yeah, say that again. Where is that?
It's...
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. The Umru Talmud, this is what he's explaining. Oh, nearly Lakaim Dibur Ramban. Right?
Yeah.
But we'll get back to what he says about that in a minute, about Smicha. Lefika Hiksha, Kiva Degami Rajusalam, Lemishkal Mahadar, Shemaisa Shahaya. Then he adds, which is not necessarily in the Ramban, I'm not sure, or L'Kaim Dibur Ramban. The Afilu Meis Rabo, you have it, Adam? Got that line, yeah, exactly.
Afilu Meis Rabo, Azu HaNasi Kirabo, Bovak, Shiyitzdarcho HaBeistin HaSomchim, Litol Rishosmin HaNasi, Shiyizmecho HaNismach Beferosh LeHora'a, Biladin.
Uladin.
Yeah.
Okay, so this seems to be saying, again, this establishes LMK Natal Rishus Meirabo. I mean, he calls it pretty much a smicha, right? Afilu Meis Rabo, right? The Nasi becomes Rabo Muvak Sheit Starku Bezen Hasomchim. Lito Rishus min anasi, sheyismichu hanismach, beferish lahora uladin. Okay, so this was part of, big. This the background to the Tshuva of the Rivash is what? Adam?
China. trying to understand what Smicha Mizmano says.
Well, he's kind of what Smicha Mizmano says, and it was precipitated by, you know, particular controversies. Okay? Did you get a chance to look at the background a little bit?
Not
so much. So, right, just trying to understand what is Smicha Mizmano says. But the reason is because there was this big fight going on. Jonathan, you saw it? The Tshuva of the Rivash? The background? Well, what happened here? Yosef saw it? Danny? Who saw the Tshuva of the Rivash? Yaakov? What happened here?
I'm not sure exactly what the controversy was. Whether it was in Tilos or Shus, or whether it was...
No. There was you know, the Maram Halevi mi Vienna, right? Who has a better handle on it? Yeah. Yeah, Rabbi. I mean, Maram Halevi mi Vienna, you know, said I gave this what Rabbeinu Yeshaya kind of, you know, I put him in charge. It wasn't even his jurisdiction, Maram Halevi mi Vienna, right? But he said, you know, I appointed, I gave jurisdiction on this area to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, right? And therefore, everybody who wants to, you know, practice, you know, Horah needs to get Rishus from him. Correct? Ad kedei kach, that if they don't, then what happens? Yonatan?
The Shumrav Asher Yakum the Tos Yeshiva with Tarfat Lirishas or Ben Yeshaya, Yukola Gidin Bachalito Shiaz Lefana Psulin, Caleb Clay Obed Kohaven.
Whoa! Those are like serious consequences, right? Right? If they're Misader Gitin or Chalitzas or whatever, they're not going to be Chal. That's very radical. Right. But it does bespeak, assuming we take it seriously, of the need to license, right? Now, do you have to get sanctioned, you know, even to, and it's a double chiddush, because you might think that the role of being Masadar Ged or Masadar Chalitza or Masadar Kiddushin is more of a, you know, quality control, you know, kind of a role. This is an issue, ad l'yameinu. Do we only really care about the Edom in a wedding? Or we do care about who the Masada Kedushin is? Only because we're worried that if he doesn't, you know, have proper standards or isn't properly qualified, that the rest of it, you know, won't go properly and smoothly? Or there's some formality, you know, in addition? That's a bit of a chiddush. Again, the Not Bihuda, as we discussed earlier in the year, was the opinion that a get requires a bezdin. Right? And many of the postmen think that that's an unbelievable chiddush. That's what we talk about the Rashash. But, you know, chalitza does require bezdin, but again, sidur chalitza v'gitin v'kiddushin, that it could be, you know, no, they won't even be machmir, in other words, you know, is a huge chiddush, one which certainly speaks of an orientation that the rabbi needs a licensing, he needs authorization, and the added chiddush, ad kedei kach, that it affects these, you know, ritual overseeing tasks. And also that he needs it from the, you know, Gadol Hador or the official, you know, rabbi in charge. That's an amazing thing. So that's the background here. Oh. So the Rivash takes the view that what? Avram? He's happy about this or unhappy?
Very respectfully says no.
What?
Respectfully says no.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of time is a long way. Maybe we'll just do a quick skira of this on Thursday when we finish up. But, you know, he has, you know, minor issues with it, and he has major issues with it. But among the part of the discussion is whether or not this din of Elam Kenotol Rishus Mirabo is the basis for Smicha of Ashkenaz, right, which is his view. And if that's the case, who does that depend on? Really, Rabbo, or somebody like the Nasi, right? Is it institutional authority? Is it personal authority? Or is it kavod? Well, so the Rivash himself has different formulations. The third and the fourth, we'll call them, basically are assuming that the smicha of Ashkenaz, which he thinks is based on Elam Kei Nato Rishus Merabo, is a form of licensing and authorizing. But he says, the Nasi, or the chief rabbi, or whatever, is not a substitute for Rabo. Rabo is a special din. And that's partly based on what we said before, that, you know, Kvod Rabo is part of the story, because it neutralizes, you know, the chi of hora out of, you know, the obligation of, you know, atzumim kol harugeh. The Maharam Halevi's argument was basically that you need authorization, and that the preferred, or really, you know, authorization is the Nasi, or the, you know, the chief rabbi. It's institutional authorization. The Chidush Yeran doesn't say that. The Chidush Yeran only says you need authorization, and then as a secondary substitute, you can go to the institutional one, but the preference seems clearly to be Rabo Muvak. And the Rivash seems to be arguing that all there is Rabo Muvak. There's no issue of institutional authority, not even as a B'dieved. Again, the Rivash in 3 and 4, reasoning 3 and 4, you know, just doesn't think you can substitute even on an authorization level. In his first and second formulations, he just doesn't think it's, you know, a positive authorization requirement, because he thinks atzumim kol harugeha, you know, is koveya, as long as there's no inyan of a preventative kvod rabo. Either way, this is a very serious issue. On the question of whether or not it affects, you know, chalitzaso chalitzo, gerushim gerushin, kiddushim kiddushin, so again, that's a very striking view. And we are, you know, lechatchila makbid for it. But the Rama in Yoredeya says, what about this, Avram?
The Rama in Yoredeya says you can give some of it just to do
it. Yeah, they'll get to that also. And but he also says, Yesh Omrim, Demish, and this is Sifya Dalid. Yesh Omrim, Demishena Musmach Lemarenu, this was called Smichas Morenu. That's what they called it. The nosen gitin, the chalitzos, ein b'maisav klum. Right, he's quoting the shita. V'yesh lachush legitin v'chalitzos shenasan im lo sheyadu alakol shemumcha l'rabim hu, rak shemitzad anava v'shiflus ein mevakesh gedulos. He's quoting from the Marivayel. Everybody was involved in all this. V'yesh cholkin u'mekilin. That's what he's quoting, Chivas Arivash. Ubemokom igun yesh lahakel im kvar nosan gitin v'chalitzos. Avalo b'derach acher ki minogon sheyishrol Torah kein nirali. Okay. Then he says, the od nirali, which is also not so obvious, and we'll get back to it in a moment. We'll get to it in a second. Shemuta losis moreinu le'echad sheyisadir gitin apapisha midin Hasmicha shevam rishonim lo havadina hachi, meaning to only be mesader dinim or gitin or specific mikzos. Mikomakom achshav eno elin etilas rishus bialma v'shar. That's an ode nearly. And we'll see in a few moments that in the Tshuvas Harama, Simon Chavdalet, in the end, he did not hold this way. He changed his mind on this particular point. Again, the Rama starts off by saying, inin hasmicha shenogu bizman hazeh, k'dei sheyedu kol ha'am sheyigia lahora, u'ma shemora hu bershus rabo hasomcho, v'lachein, don't notice the language of smicha though, l'chein im kvar meis rabo ein tzorech l'smichas. There's a combination of the Rivash, this is based on the Rivash. V'chein tamud chaver k'derech shenizbar le'el b'makom she'ein tzorech rishus ein tzorech smichas. And this is a quote of the Rivash, Udelo Kenachlas Avos Perek Shanu Chachamim. That's the Barbanel in his Perek Shanu Avos, Perek Vav Mishnah. Do you know what he says? The Barbanel claims that in Svarad they generally didn't require smicha, right? But he is very negative about the smicha of Ashkenaz. He actually accuses the Rabbanim of Italy of being unduly influenced by, like, you know, universities and the orientation, you know, that undergirds them, like, you know, giving doctorates and things of that sort. He says, oh, they, like, turned the smicha into a PhD. Not exactly. Anyways, the point is that this this notion of the Marash Halevi, which the Rivash rejects, the Ramah basically endorses the view of the Rivash, but, as you see, he, not without some caution. You know, he starts off by saying you should really be machmir, you know, and l'chatchila we would say ein chalitzaso chalitzav ein gitav, you know, gitin, without the proper authorization. Just that b'di'eved, if we know that it's mishum, you know, his anivus, but he really is qualified, and since the Rivash holds that it isn't ma'akev, and we're talking about you know, l'hakel b'makom igun, therefore we're mekel. But it's certainly not absurd, according to the Ramah, who doesn't think that it's ma'akev, to think that the requirement of licensing is ma'akev even on these overseeing rituals, which is a very strong statement about the, you know, smicha as an ishur, as a requirement. Okay.
Is he saying at the
ma'akev? Who? Rosh Halevi?
Yeah.
He says ein chalitzas chalitza ein gitav gitin, and the Rivash argues, and the Ramah says lechatchila but not b'di'evet. But if you look at the tshuva, that's what he says. I'll read it in.
The gitin is not chal.
Yeah, gitin is not chal. The chalitza is not chal. It's shocking, but.
Or is him a plum that you can't rely on?
He seems to say the Eva Bais of Klum meaning it's zero, not even Lechumra. The Ramah says, and the Rivash say, well, the Rivash says, I don't think it's right. And the Ramah says, well, Mishum Igun, you're not gonna be, you want to be Machmir, that way you can be Machmir, you're not going to be Mekel. Right? Or you're not going to be B'mokum Igun, you're not going to say that. But Pashtus of Barash Alevi, the way it's quoted by the Rivash, is Eva Bais of Klum. You need this sanctioning person to no, he says the chalitza is klum, the gittin is klum. That's what he says. I mean, it's shocking, but that's what he says. The truth is, Moshe Feinstein, we're talking about, you know, the Lower East Side before, as you know, talks about this in terms of you know, non-orthodox rabbis. You know, that they're, it's a tremendous, know, something that looks tremendously like a chumra, but can end up being, he used it sometimes as a tremendous kula in terms of mamzerus and other things, very, very shockingly. But this is the discussion in the Ramah. Okay. What about the connection to smicha? So that too is addressed by the Ran. That's really what the context is of the Jonathan Yassad, the discussion of the Ran and the Ramban regarding smicha. Goes back to the question in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yore, Lama, if he's a Gamir, right, he should be able to practice. Now, it sounds in the Gemara like Isra v'Heter doesn't need chalos smicha, right, or chalos rishus. So all Rishonim asked, even if that's the case, why not say that there's a chalos le'inyan, even if you don't need it, Tashlumin, right? That's Tosus's question. We already know that Tosus answered, you know, since you're getting licensed for other things, so implicitly, unless they exclude you, you know, from Isur V'Heter, you have that, so that's not a problem. And then we know that the Tosus HaRush gives a different answer. Tosus HaRush says, don't think that just because you're licensed for Din or for Bechor, that automatically licenses you, Tashlumin-wise, for Isur V'Heter. No. People have different expertises. You know, Heilichud. We tried to connect that to different formulations in the Rambam about splitting up the Mikzaos, whether you need, in other words, to split them up, but default they're integrated, or they are, you know, opposite. You have to give smicha in every area. Right? Different formulations in the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Sanhedrin and Bechoros, Parag Dalad Chosan, the things that we discussed the first semester. So basically, there's a parallel argument between Tosus and the Tosa Rush, you know, in answering this question. But the Ramban answer the question differently. Right? How so? Who was that? Who did I ask? Yeah, go ahead. How so? Oh, you were doing the round before. Go ahead.
He said that.
Yor Yehora, he asked this question. Read the question. Ikal Medak. Exactly the same question. Right? Time Satahar, right? Tiara Satame. So we see from the Gemara later on that there is a malpractice aspect to Hora of Yisra V'Heter too. Correct?
Yeah.
Hoba Hora's Trefus, right? Yeah. He would have to pay. So now the Tirtzu B'Shem Ramban. An interesting diuk in the Gemara, right? A literary diuk in the Gemara.
So he reversed the order.
V'yesh b'mashma she'edan kol adayanim afil dine knosos. He's not saying what Tosis is saying. V'zuhi ikar hasmicha. By the way, again, like the Rambam, the Ramban is learning the Gemara, right, that this isn't just about Netilas Rishus Minasi Umareish Galusa, but that it applies equally, it's part of Smicha, right, classical Smicha. Right, so what he's saying is, this guy already, right, has Smicha, V'yesh b'mashma she'edon kola dayanim, afilu kola dinim, it should probably say, afilu dine knosos. Is that based on an implicit to Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula? I'm not sure. Not sure. Maybe. Right? Vizu, he, Ikar, Hasmicha. These are very important lines, right, in the Gemara. Can I mean him at Pirkin? Go ahead. They'll come on. He's talking real Smicha in Gemara and Heywood base, right? Umachar Shayasamuch. Yeah. So now, but this puts a whole different spin right on the Gemara. Because the Ramban is saying this guy's already a samuch. So number one, is there an explicit Gemara that says that in theory, right, somebody who is not licensed, but is knowledgeable, could be Mora Hora? No, not this Gemara anyway. I'm not saying that might not still be true, but the pashtus of this Gemara, when the Gemara says, what do you need? Yore Yore, right? Let him, you know, he's a Gomer, let him just paskin, right? So it sounds like, then the Gemara says, no, Talmud al Yore, Elim Kei Nato Rishus, Mirabo, right? So normally the way we read the Gemara is that at minimum the Gemara thinks that unlike, let's say, Din, right, for Horos, he's a Veheter, being a Gomer without being formally licensed might be enough Midoraisa, right? But according to the Ramban's reading of the Gemara, that doesn't mean that that's wrong, but it certainly doesn't mean it's right. The Gemara never asked this fellow who doesn't have any authorization, you know, what do we care if he knows what he's doing? Let him be Mara Hara. The Gemara never said that. According to the Ramban, because of the Tashlumin, we're talking about a case of a Samuch. We're saying, if he's a Samuch, what does he need? Also Yore Yore, but he's already a Samuch. Right? We're not saying somebody who's not a Samuch in other areas can be done, he's sort of het there, even without anything. Right? Okay. On the other hand, if you ask the question, what does the takana then mean? Right? Talmud al Yorlin Kenato Rishus Mirabo. Right? It's a post smicha heter tashlumin. I'm sorry. Yeah. A post smicha heter tashlumin. Is that right? What's that? A ptur tashlumin, sorry. Yeah. V'yeshu dakte k'tzas, t'lefum gemara, mashma, shekonim l'chein sholo ala hora, v'yachake achaladim. Right. The Ran says, you know, I don't know whether that's so meduyak in the Gemara. V'od shim ikar ha'shela ha'yisol l'fi shekvar natal r'shus v'nismach, And therefore, he doesn't need more. Ma hoisa tshuva mishu ma'isa shahaya. Ha're natal rishus, kisha samach, sha'omar yadin. Well, the answer to that might be, you know, that, again, different, you know, when you're, you know, doing a din Torah, you know, with other dayanim in the framework of a bezdin, you know, maybe we're not concerned about the responsibility or public bearing aspect of it the same way we are when you're being mora as a single dayan or a single mora hora, right? You know, outside of that framework, but it's a very strong and good question. Okay, the Eish L'Tarets, so Divar Aman, go ahead, yeah.
Even though
Medina didn't
need it.
I'm sorry, you're right. L'inyan hora tzarich. So this whole, according to this explanation of the Ramban, this is all about, you know, a heter tashlumin, or a ptur rather tashlumin, right, in the aftermath of being assaulted. But the whole Gemara is just turned on its head according to the Ramban.
It's not a tashlumin.
What? No. 1 second. Elim ke not rishus me. 1 second. Here, avagav de midina ki yavel rishus of the main dina knasas loy tzarich lito rishus. Lin tur tashlamim. Kama.
Tzarich
meisha
meisa shahaya.
Yeah, but that's for
dina knasas. No, it sounds like it's a general
tur
tashlamim.
Kama goes after
tur tashlamim. Right,
it's like the general. In hara, they added a requirement. Of, I don't understand what you're asking.
Talking about,
in hara, they added an extra level of malpractice liability.
Even though you're immune.
Oh, okay. You mean not in terms of.
If he was pulling his clap, he didn't have to pay, but he still needs a shus to do it.
Oh, okay. Could be. Meaning, is it an additional license? Or is it an additional Ptur Tashlumin? You're saying it's an additional lie. Yeah, you're probably right. Okay. Good. That's fine. Either way, this is not in the absence of, it's in addition to Smicha. The Od Nira Li, L'Kayim Divrei Ramban, this is even more intriguing. The Lomar.
The Od Nira Li, L'Kayim Divrei Ramban, the Lomar, the Masha, Spiro Lai, the Redi, the Amar Yadi, the Yashit, the Sunulo, the Gamri. You were saying that you need how do you read that part?
What's the problem? If you hold yadin, when you say yadin, tei rishus and sunu lo legamri.
Yadin means tei rishus and sunu lo legamri.
He has complete rishus to be done, even, isra v'het. Kemosha rishus, well, let's continue. Kemosha rishus and sunu lo kishashlosha hayu som chinoso. Right? They called him Korele Rebbe, right? The Yadin Dine Knossos. That's a Havamina. Meaning, if you have Smicha, then if you have the Natila, the Smicha from the Rosh Galusa or the Nasi, it's the same as having, in parallel to having, you know, a Smicha in Andaf Yud Gimel Amid Beis and Yadalad Amid Aleph too, right? Meaning the classical Smicha. And that, you know, includes everything. Ulafika hiksha, the kivin de gamir, rishusa lameli, lemishkal. Right, because he's authorized. But again, everything in the Ramban world is post authorization. It's not you don't need authorization. Umahadale, this is interesting. Mishumaisa shahaya shagazur yomra talmud al yore elim kenato rishus mirabo. The afilu meis rabo also anasi kerabu muvak sheitzari chabezdin, right? Hasomchim lito rishus min anasi sheyismechu anismach beferish lahora uladin. So what do they do? Not an additional requirement to smicha, but a prerequisite for smicha. A prerequisite for smicha was netilas reshus mirabo o mireish galus o minanasi if the rabbo was dead. Kemosh asher abchiyah the kabai mirebi yore umahader yore yadin umahader la yadin. The acharkach samach rabchiyah es rav bishlosha the karu rebi v'amar yadin dine knasos came nearly. So basically, the two perspectives—they're not so different—but in both, the common denominator is that for the Ramban, we're speaking about Yore as Elam Kenato Rishus Mirabo in conjunction with Smicha, just in addition to the Smicha, or as a prerequisite for the Smicha. And by the way, not just for, according to this, you know, Mekayim, the second perspective in the Ran for the Ramban. Right, it's lahora uladin. Right, you know, as we discussed already, that you know, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos says that the din of Elam Kenato Rishus Mirabo applies also to din, not just to hora. The Mabit, you know, denied it, and made an important chiluk in that regard. Right here. The second view of the Ran, second explanation of the Ran, and the Ramban is operating with Hora and Din. First one maybe, probably, is limited, sounds like it's limited only to Hora. So that's, there are two basic differences, I think, between the two answers. One is the Netilas Rishus is added on to Smicha, a necessary add-on, but then it's limited to Hora, or it's a prerequisite to Smicha, right, and then it applies even to Din. What about Rabbi David Bonfil himself? Go ahead. But Rabbi David. Kasim Nalel. Right, we remember that when we read the Gemara in Dav Gimel, Torah Leishalmo writes this big machlokas rishonim there, you know, both on a daraisa and a drabanan level. Do we think that every time you're a fully authorized dayan, there's an automatic, you know, exemption of the malpractice liability, or do we think that that's always something artificial that you need to get, you know, you need to take insurance out for, or to get extra? This is a function of, you know, your stature, your maximalist stature of a as a dayan. Right, or it's a shear, in other words, in that, or in it's a separate din. Okay, so what he's saying now is, when it comes to a dayan shel Torah is patur mitashum midaraisa. That's what it means. Ve'ein lanu dayan din imam neshu p'turim. Go ahead. Yeah, dayanim smuchim. Oh, so what's he saying? By yachid mumcha, even with the tilus rishus, the afilu samuch. That's quite interesting. That belongs on our, you know, the what a chad samuch, right? The chalos of a chad samuch, as we know, is not such a simple meaning. The nesivas, the arsameach, thought that the Rambam's Rabacha Breid Rabika was a Chad Samuch, right? But we, you know, we know that that's very controversial. That's Rabbeinu Chananel probably thought. At least that's how the Ramah read the Rabbeinu Chananel as well. Others will say there's no such thing. Again, depending whether Samuch is an inyan of Hora'ah or Bezdin, and whether one is ever a walking Bezdin, right? But here the Ran is acknowledging the possibility of a yachid samuch, but even a yachid samuch, right, does not have exemption from this liability, and neither the substitution of shlosha hedyotos, right? Umshimachi. Bezen hefker. Again, this the hefker bezen hefker aspect here is interesting too. Let's remember also that the Ran, I apologize to the people who weren't here first semester, but for the people who were, remember that the Ran thinks that the Nilas Delis and all that works, a lot of the Drabanans work midin Hefker Bezdin. Right, so that's consistent. Abal, here's a big chiddush. Le'inyan ha'hora, miser v'heter. So two things to note here. So according to this perspective, the a yachid mumche sheyodea dinim is kosher min ha-Torah lahoros. Now, there's what emerges from here. Number one is that hora as a category is fundamentally different than din, reflected by the fact that you don't need three, but also in this respect, you know, how much licensing you need, and also that there is an automatic ptur tashlum in daraisa. But it's still interesting that he calls him. One second. He still calls him a Dayan. Okay. I mean, there's still a status here of Dayan. Right. Go ahead. Right. So in the sense that he doesn't require, that's he basically for him, he turns the whole question on its head, Rav David Bonfield. Right, the other Rishonim are all saying, well, you need this gzeira for Tashlumin. Right? And basically Rav David Bonfield is saying, yeah, that's what the Gemara said. Right? You need this gzeira midrabanan for Tashlumin. But the Gemara is asking, you know, why do you need it? Because Minatora Hora'a, unlike other areas of Halacha, right, is A, easier to license, B, has an automatic Ptur Tashlumin, even though he's still called a Dayan, right? But that's the Gemara's answer, that, you know, because of the Maisa Shehaya, they wanted to, even though Minat Torah, these standards are lesser, they wanted not to, it's not a licensing mechanism, according to the Ran, but it is a Ptur Tashlumin condition. Okay. Rainu Haid Don Sadin, Times Atahar, that's the result of this Gemara, not, right, instead of this Gemara. B'mishena Mumcha, Dimta Mishalem, Halota, Mashatime Time Mashatir Tier. Then he has the fourth idea. Go ahead, Vyesh. Now, according to this view, once again, like the other, like the first two within the Ramban, the Gemara never ever thought that you could be Mora Hora without some sort of licensing. The whole Shakavatari of the Gemara is only about, you know, being, you know, Koveya Medrash. This is very parallel, right, to the Rambam in a way. Right, according to this gear, so Yeshu Sover Lama Diora Lomashma Ladrasha Velo Halacha Maisa. This is also very interesting. Mishum Drasha Bialma, go ahead. Imaso Achirim Behoraso. That's not called, right, malpractice. You're giving a shiur, and somebody wants to, you know, take it to a conclusion, but you didn't bang on the table, you know, and put quotations around your conclusion, you know, then or it wasn't in the context of somebody asking you a shaila, you know, with a chicken on the table or something like that, then that's not subject to malpractice liability. Right. Umshum drasha bialma, right, amaso acherim baharasa, v'nimsa shita inachayiv l'shala. Zeshal, igama reshusa lama. So what do you need permission for that? Right? Avalo shal al yadin v'yatr b'choros shasa mor halacha l'maisa. Right, if it was mor halacha l'maisa, then we'd understand, of course, why you need, you know, yore yore, even in Isra Beheta. Okay, so it emerges is very interesting shitos about the relationship between smicha and talmud al yore, right? Whether it's an additional requirement, whether it's a prerequisite. If it's a prerequisite, it could be viewed as an additional integrated part of the smicha. If not, it's an additional, it's an added license to the smicha. The possibility of Rav David Bonfield that Hora is something that is fundamentally different. The two deos, whether or not within the Ramban, whether there's a difference between Isur V'Heter and Din at all, and also this perspective of what constitutes liability in terms of Isur V'Heter in other areas, and then finally the Shita that considers the whole subject of the Gemara to be about Kvias Medrash and not Isur V'Heter at all. Okay. Yeah.
How do you have Rishus in your day of the Paschi Halacha Maisa?
What do you mean? You mean according to the Yesho Sovereign?
Yeah.
Yor Lamashma Ladrasha Vala Halacha Lamaisa. You need licensing for maybe the regular licensing for being a Dayan gives you also licensing for Hora, but in this Gemara, I think he only means that in this Gemara, if we're not talking about actual Hora, then you need that it's only been LMK not Tal Rishos. But had it been real, had you really been paskening directly, Avaloshal al Yodin v'yatir b'choros shahasam bora halach lamaisa. If you're in Isur V'Heter, that would also require what yatir and yodin require. Actual yadin yadin meaning royal host of Kahoris v'chol Torah Kula. I don't think he necessarily holds that way, but I think he needs the parallel of that. In other words, you need a real smicha for Isur V'Heter to paskin.
And whatever the yora yora was in the Gemara on that page,
yeah,
you think that wasn't sufficient to paskin alach l'maisa?
Correct. And you needed something more to paskin alach l'maisa. But whether you need royal host v'chol Torah Kula, and therefore it's included in the smicha, or there was something the equivalent of yatir b'chor, maybe it's like yatir b'choros, so there was yatir, b'isur v'heter, that I don't know. But when the Gemara asked, if you're a gomir, that should be plenty sufficient, the Gemara wasn't asking about somebody who was paskening shilas, with a chicken on the table, or halacha ulamaisa. That they were assuming needs real, formal licensing. What I mean is formal licensing. Whether, meaning, as opposed to what the Gemara, the issue in this Gemara is that the Gemara is assuming. What?
As opposed to what the Gemara calls Yora Yora?
As opposed to, according to this pshat, what the Gemara means by the words Yora Yora here. He's saying the words Yora Yora here doesn't mean paskening a shayla. It means giving a shear. But if we're talking about paskening a shayla, then you would need the equivalent of what you have in Yatir Bechor and in Yadin. You're asking me, I thought you were asking me a second ago, does he really require Yadin and Yatir and everything, or can it still be specialized? That I don't know.
I'm just asking, how do you, if Sam Yor Yor doesn't apply?
Maybe it does generally, but not in this Gemara. He's saying when the Gemara here, the way I read this, the Yedei Shomrim, is almost like it's there's an incredulity. He's a little bit incredulous in the sense of, give me one more minute also, saying like, what, there's a Havamina of the Gemara that you could be paskening, unlike the last view of the Ran himself, right? You could paskin without being licensed for that? Make it tasty. Can't be. Therefore, when the Gemara says, yori yori here, what it means is giving a shear. And people taking, if they're going to take you to your conclusion of your shear, that's a different matter. But that's what we're talking about. But if we were talking about the equivalent of what happens in Yadin, in a din, or in Yatir Bechor, where we're talking about a concrete psak halacha, then of course you need licensing for that. That's not a question. Wow. This all goes back on the original point. Like, why don't you just say you need it because you need it? You need it because you need it, and you need it for tashlumin.
Why does Tam Yor Yor imply just Lidrosh?
Why does it? That's the difficulty in accepting this pshat. But he's what forced him into it is that he doesn't think that the Gemara makes sense, because otherwise you say because you need it for a real hora, which is also potem and not tashlumin. So it can't mean what it says. It's got to mean something less.
Okay.
if you're asking me why do the words mean that, is it compelling? The Ran himself says he doesn't like it because he doesn't think it's compelling. But the Deah that he's quoting is saying this Gemara, which seems to say Yoreh, namely Paskin and Isa v'Heter, can't mean that because it's just way, way over the top, making assumptions that don't make sense. So contextually, not the words, but the context make us believe that it's talking about in a base medrash and not in a chicken factory. But a chicken factory requires, you know, a real license with a real heter tashlumin. That's what he's saying. That's why the Ran doesn't like it. But that shita is saying that. Not based on the words, but also, you know, accommodating the words. Now, what do you need? He doesn't tell us. Do you need, you know, an iser v'heter smicha? Or is that implicit in your getting these other smichas? That's a missing piece in this room. So the final point just to mention, we'll stop here, I guess we'll... Is there a class here right after or not? No, I'll chase this out like yesterday. So, is the question of Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula, right? Which I want to talk. The Tshuvas of the Ramah, I want to talk about that next time very quickly, says that Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula applies even to the Smicha Bizman Hazeh. Of course, that puts it very much in the line of Smicha. And also in terms of, not just Smicha, the status of the Gabra Korole Rebbe that we spoke about. So I want to talk about that and the parameters of Roy Lahoros. And then we also want to speak about the Marik and the Shulchan Aruch applying some of the dinim of Nasi and Reish Galusa to modern Smicha as well. And then speak a little more about the Rivosh, and then we're done.